Hello, this is your volunteer broadcaster, Cecilia, bringing you this week's Bedtime Stories program on Sun Sounds of Arizona. In today's program, we will read Bark, George, Diary of a Worm, and Streganona's Magic Lessons. Let's get started with Bark, George, by Jules Pfeiffer. George's mother said, and there you see George's mother standing. She has a red scarf around her neck. Bark, George. George went, meow. And there's George. And he's a small, light brown dog. No, George, said George's mother. Cats go meow. Dogs go arf. Now bark, George. George went, quack, quack. No, George, said George's mother. Ducks go quack, quack. Dogs go arf. Now bark, George. George went, oink. No, George, said George's mother. Pigs go oink. Dogs go arf. Now bark, George. And there's George's mother laying on the ground, and she has her front paw over her head. George went, moo. George's mother took George to the vet. I'll soon get to the bottom of this, said the vet. Please bark, George. And there's the vet sitting on a stool, and he's putting a glove on his hand. George went, meow. And there's George, and there's his mother standing over him, and she's got her head down, and she has a frown on her face. The vet reached deep down inside of George and pulled out a cat. And there's George, and the vet is pulling a cat out of his mouth. And George's mother is standing behind and has her mouth open. Bark again, George. George went, quack, quack. The vet reached deep, deep down inside of George and pulled out a duck. Bark again, George. George went, oink. The vet reached deep, deep, deep down inside of George and pulled out a pig. And there's the vet, and he's falling off of his stool, and he's holding a big pink pig. Bark again, George. George went, moo. The vet put on his longest latex glove. Then he reached deep, 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 deep down inside of George and pulled out a cow. And there's the vet. He's fallen on the ground and the cow is on top of him. Bark again, George. George went, arf. And there's the vet and George's mom, and they're both have a smile on their face. George's mother was so thrilled that she kissed the vet, and there she is licking the vet, and the vet's liking that he's getting licked, and the cat and the duck and the pig and the cow, and there's George's mom licking the cow and the pig and the duck and the cat. On the way home, she wanted to show George off to everyone on the street. And there's George's mom, and she's walking by a lot of people on the street. So she said, bark, George. And George is there walking by the people, and George went, hello. The end. Now we'll read Diary of a Worm by Doreen Cronin, pictures by Harry Bliss. March 20th. Mom says there are three things I should always remember. Number one, the earth gives us everything we need. And there's a picture of the earth. And there's the worm with a red hat on. And there's an arrow pointing at him that says, me. Number two, when we dig tunnels, we help take care of the earth. And there's the worm, and he's tunneling through the earth. And he says, must make tunnel, help earth breathe. Number three, never bother daddy when he's eating the newspaper. And there's the worm, and he's looking at his daddy, who's eating the newspaper, and that says, Chomp. March 29th. Today I tried to teach a spider how to dig. And there's the worm, and his tail's up in the air, his head's under the ground, and the spider's looking at the worm with a question mark over his head. First of all, his legs got stuck. And there's the spider. I think I've twisted one of my ankles. Then he swallowed a bunch of dirt. And there's the spider, and he's spitting out a bunch of dirt, and the worm walks away. I give up. Tomorrow he's going to teach me how to walk upside down. March 30th. Worms cannot walk upside down. And there's the spider on a tree limb, and he's walking upside down. But the worm is falling off, and the spider catches him with some of his webbing. April 4th, fishing season started today. We all dug deeper, and there's a shovel going into the dirt. And there's a can of above on the ground, and the can says bait on it. And in the ground, underneath where the shovel is, there's the worm and his family, and they're sitting there in their house under the ground, and there's the dad is reading, and there's a tunnel over to another worm who's sleeping, and that's Grandpa. Did you guys hear something? The dad says to the family, and they're listening to the shovel coming down. April 10th, it rained all night, and the ground was soaked. We spent the entire day on the sidewalk. Hopscotch is a very dangerous game. And there's the worm and his friend. And on above him is a little girl, and she's going to almost step on them if they don't get out of the way. April 15th. I forgot my lunch today. I got so hungry that I ate my homework. And there's the worm, and he's sitting around with other worms at school, and they are eating their lunch, but there's the worm, and he's eating his paper instead of their food. My teacher made me write, I will not eat my homework, 10 times. And there's the worm, and he's holding a pencil in the end of his tail. When I was finished, I ate that too. I will not eat my homework. I will not eat my homework. And there's the paper, and it has a lot of chew marks on it. April 20th. I snuck up on some kids in the park today. They didn't hear me coming. I wiggled right up between them, and they screamed. And there's some children on the ground playing marbles, and there's the worm. And then I love when they do that. And the worm's smiling, and the children are running away. May 1st, Grandpa taught us that good manners are very important. So today I said, good morning to the first ant I saw. And there's the worm, and he's saying good morning to the ant. There were 600 more of them in line. And you see a long, long line of ants. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How you doing? Good morning. Nice to see you. Howdy. Good morning. I stood there all day. May 8th. Had the worst nightmare last night. Giant birds playing hopscotch. And there you see the worm, and he's having the nightmare. He's lying on the ground, and there's a big bird about to snatch him. Mom says I have to stop eating so much garbage right before I go to bed. And there you see the worm sleeping in a box and his mom standing over him. May 15th, I got into a fight with Spider today. He told me you need legs to be cool. Then he ran. I couldn't keep up. Maybe he's right. May 16th, I made Spider laugh so hard he fell out of his tree. Who needs legs? And there's the worm, and he has his hat on, but he also has a pretend arrow going through the top of his head. And the spider's laying on his back laughing, and there's the word thud. May 28th, last night I went to the school dance. You put your head in, you put your head out. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. That's all we could do. And there's the worm and he's with all his friends at the dance, but all they can do is move their head. June 5th. Today we made macaroni necklaces in arts class. And there you see the worm and his friends around him, and they all have a piece of macaroni around their neck, but they can't move much. I brought mine home and we ate it for dinner. And there they are, the families eating the macaroni, and the worm's dad has his tail around the worm, and the dad says, "You're very talented." June 15th. My older sister thinks she's so pretty. I told her that no matter how much time she spends looking in the mirror, her face will always look just like her rear end. Oh, and there's her sister. She has a pretty yellow bow on her top of her head, and she's looking into a puddle at her reflection. Spider thought that was really funny. Mom did not. And there's the mom yelling at the worm for saying that to his sister. July 4th. When I grow up, I want to be a Secret Service agent. Spider says I will have to be very careful because the president might step on me by mistake. It's a dangerous job, I told him, but someone's got to do it. And there he is, imagine himself being a Secret Service agent, and he has a coat on and sunglasses and a microphone in his ears. July 28th, three things I don't like about being a worm. Number one, I can't chew gum. And there he is, leaning up against some bubble gum. Number two, I can't have a dog. Can we keep him, Mom? And there he is. And he's asking his mom, and his mom's saying, no. Number three, all that homework. And there he is, dragging some books behind him. Books like one called Digging, one is called Soil, one is called Compost. July 29th, three good things about being a worm. Number one, I never have to go to the dentist. And the dentist is looking at him. No cavities, no teeth either. Number two, I never get in trouble for tracking mud through the house. And there he is, mud's trailing behind him. I never have to take a bath. And his parents are hugging him and they say, who's my grubby little boy? August 1st, it's not always easy being a worm. We're very small and sometimes people forget that we're even here. And there's the worm underground, and he's writing on some paper that's sitting on a mushroom that's underground. And the planet, there's a globe of the earth on top of the mushroom. But like Mom always says, the earth never forgets we're here. And there's some grass coming out of the earth and a big orange butterfly. The end. This is a reminder that you are listening to Bedtime Stories on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Now we'll read Strega Nona's Magic Lessons by Tommy De Paola. Bambolona, the baker's daughter, was angry. Every day, summer, fall, winter, and spring, she had to get up before the sun to bake bread. Then, piling the loaves on her head, she went to deliver them. But her work wasn't finished. Rushing back to the bakery, she had to mix the flour and salt and water and yeast and set the dough to rise for tomorrow's bread. Don't forget, her father, the baker, would say, to make the cookies and bake the cakes. And remember, Bambolona, to clean up everything spick and span. I'm going now to see my friends. And off he would go to sit all day in the square of the little town in Calabria. One day, Bambolona said, Papa, there is too much work to do. I need some help. Get up earlier, her father said. But I get up now before the sun, said Bambolona, and I'm the last one in town to get to bed. That's the way things are, her father said as he went out the door on his way to the square. And don't forget, he called back, you have a wedding cake to bake. That did it. Bambolona dusted the flour from her hands and took off her apron. I'm going to change the way things are, she said. I'll go see Strega Nona. She's so wise, she'll help me. And there she is, Bambalona walking to Strega Nona's. And there's her father in the town square with some other men. I think I know how to help you, Strega Nona said after hearing Bambalona's sad tale. So many people come to me with their troubles. I could certainly use some help. Why not stay with me and I will teach you my magic? Oh, Strega Nona, said Bambalona, thank you. We'll start today, said Strega Nona. Now Big Anthony, who worked around the house and in the garden for Strega Nona, was listening. He was always listening to what other people were talking about instead of working. Strega Nona, he shouted, running into the house. Me too. Teach me your magic too. Oh, Anthony, Strega Nona said with a smile, I can't do that. Why don't you go and milk the goat? Now Big Anthony was the one who was angry. I'll show Strega Nona, he muttered. I'll just go and work for the baker now that Bambalona has left. Down the hill, Big Anthony ran. The baker hired him on the spot. The first thing you do, mix the dough, the baker said, told Big Anthony. Put in this much flour, this much salt, this much water, and this much yeast. He looked hard at Big Anthony's smiling face. Do you understand? The yeast makes the dough rise. Now mix it right away, and by the time I get back at 6 o'clock, the dough will be ready to make into loaves. Si, senor. Yes, sir, Big Anthony said. The baker walked out the door and toward the square. I'll just look at everything first, said Big Anthony, poking around. And there he's seen a big pile of pink cookies. Cookies, he ate one, then another. Cakes, he ate one, then another. Big Anthony ate them all. In fact, he was still eating when the clock in the square struck four. Mamma mia, said Big Anthony. I forgot to mix the dough. It won't rise in time. Ah, I know. The yeast makes the dough rise. I'll just put in a little more of that, and the dough will rise much faster. And there's a big bowl with the dough in it, and he's throwing in more yeast. I'll still have time for a nap, he said. When he got through, he sat down and promptly fell asleep. What a sight the baker saw when he returned. There's Big Anthony, and there's dough all over the kitchen. Out, shouted the baker. What's the matter, Big Anthony? Asked Signora Rosa. And there's Signora Rosa. She's doing her wash in the square. The baker threw me out. Now I have no job, he answered. And it's Strega Nona's fault. I never would have left her house if she had let me learn to be a Strega. Silly goose, said Signora Rosa. Whoever heard of a man being a Strega? All of a sudden, Big Anthony's eyes lit up, and off he ran. And there he is running away from Signora Rosa, and he's carrying something. To cure a headache, you must first fill the bowl with water, Strega Nona was telling Bambalona. Next, you add a few drops of olive oil. Then you say these magic words. Knock, knock, knock. Strega Nona went to the door. Oh, Strega Nona, said a tall girl standing there. All my life I wanted to learn your magic. Will you teach me, please? Santo cielo, dear me, said Strega Nona. And there in the door is Big Anthony, dressed in a dress and pink scarf on his head and red lipstick. What is your name, my girl? Antonia, said the girl. Why do you want to learn my magic, Antonia? Strega Nona asked. Oh, so that I can help people, said Antonia. Ever since I was a little girl, I've wanted to become a Strega. Ah, in that case, said Strega Nona, come right in. This is Bambalona. She is learning my magic, too. Bambalona stared at Antonia and then at Strega Nona. How nice, two girls to teach, Strega Nona said. She smiled at Bambalona and then she began. To learn magic and practice it well, she said, you must learn to see and not to see. You must learn to remember and to forget, to be still and to be busy. but mostly you must be faithful to your work. Do you understand, my dears? See, yes, Stregonona, said Bambolona. No, no, said Antonia. When are we going to learn how to do the magic things? In time, said Stregonona. Now let's practice some of the magic words. Repeat in the right order after me. Soon Bambolona set all of them by heart. Antonia kept mixing them up. Bambolona learned the cure for headaches. Antonia didn't. Bambolona learned to make love potions. Antonia didn't. Bambo learned how to get rid of warts. Antonia didn't. Bambolona, said Stregonona, I think you are ready now to learn more powerful magic. This is a special book. It is very ancient and contains many magic secrets. Tomorrow we will begin with it. Oh, grazie, Stregonona, said Bambolona. Me too, Stregonona, asked Antonia. Not yet, Antonia, said Stregonona. You have other things to learn. That night, while everyone was asleep, Antonia crept into Stregonona's house. Bambolona thinks she's so smart, said Antonia. I'll just read that book tonight, and tomorrow I'll surprise her and Stregonona. The next morning, Antonia was looking very tired. Antonia, said Stregonona, watch and listen. Come, Bambolona, we will start. Wait, wait, shouted Antonia. I have a surprise. I know some real magic. Watch me turn that iron kettle into a golden one. Are you sure, Antonia? Said Stregonona, frowning. Yes, oh yes, said Antonia, beginning to mutter some strange-sounding words, but she stopped. Wait, I remember now, she began again. Be careful, Antonia, warned Bambolona. Magic can't be fooled with. I've got it now, Antonia said. She muttered more words. Suddenly there was a bright flash, some smelly smoke, and then the iron kettle was still there. But Stregonona wasn't. Instead, where Stregonona had been standing was a nice, fat toad. Now, see what you've done, cried Bambolona. Oh, no, shouted Antonia. Oh, help, help, somebody save Stregonona. What have I done? Stregonona warned you to be careful with magic. Now she's gone forever, Bambolona. Stregonona, wept Antonia, picking up the toad. Forgive me, forgive me. Please, Bambolona, you're so clever, you're so smart. Please change her back again. I promise I'll never play with magic again. I can't change that toad into Stregonona, said Bambolona. But I can change Antonia into Big Anthony. Bambolona pulled off Antonia's kerchief, and sure enough, there was Big Anthony. Oh, I'll never learn, howled Big Anthony. I'll never learn. Oh, Stregonona, Stregonona, what have I done to you? Perhaps, said Bambolona, if you really promise to never, ever play with magic again, that will bring Stregonona back. Do you really think that would work? Said Big Anthony, sobbing. It's worth a try, said Bambolona. Big Anthony put down the toad. He closed his eyes tight and put his hand over his heart. I promise, I really promise, that as long as I live, I will never play with magic again. Just bring Stregonona back. And there's Big Anthony with his hand over his heart. The toad is sitting looking up at him. And behind the curtain is the nose and chin of Stregonona sticking out behind the curtain. There was another bright flash, some smelly smoke, and presto, Stregonona was back. Where am I? Said Stregonona. Oh, I'm in my little house. Whatever happened to me? Hello, Bambolona. And why, Big Anthony, what are you doing? Where's sweet Antonia? Tell her, Big Anthony, said Bambolona. Oh, Stregonona, said Big Anthony, falling on his knees. He told Stregonona what he had done. He was so busy crying and talking, he didn't see the nice fat toad hopping past him out the door. And so, Stregonona, please, he said, if you take me back, I promise to be good. I'll do my chores and never play with magic again. And there's Big Anthony. He has his hands folded like he's praying, and Bambolona standing behind him with a smile and her hand covering her face. All right, Anthony, said Stregonona, smiling. But before you go back to work, change your clothes. You are wearing Senora Rosa's nicest dress. And at the end, you see Big Anthony standing outside of Straganona's house. And he's got his finger up to his mouth. He's got his lipstick still on. And Bambalona and Straganona are inside the house looking out at him. And they're smiling. And outside, there's a bunny and the goat looking up at Big Anthony. And there's a peacock, that blue peacock on top of the house. The end. That's all we have for today. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Cecilia. Thank you for listening. Join us next week for more bedtime stories. Have a great week.